Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for The Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
And we're back here, 93.9 The Ville, ESPN 680, 105.7. All right, we got a lot going on here tonight. We'll have, Louisville Sports Live tonight. And then we've got that at 7 on 93 in the Ville. We've got Seton Hall and Indiana State. Is that the finals of the NIT or is it semis? I think it's finals, isn't it?
Yeah, don't ask me. I don't know.
9:15. You don't have your bracket up on the NIT?
I do not. No, the championship is tonight, 9:15. ESPN 680 and 93 on the Ville. So we have that for sure.
Well, that's what I was asking. I mean, I was asking, is that the championship game?
It is the championship game. It is the title game. I just pulled it up.
And then the real thing today to look forward to, let's be honest, is Bob Valvano live from Radio Row? Because Bob, you know, sometimes logistics come into play with him. Fair to say?
Yeah, very fair.
So when you are at the Final Four Radio Row, things happen at moments' notice sometimes.
Yeah, it's like
you
derby,
know, where
right?
It's like, hey, yeah, you can get this guy right now. Or you may have to tape this interview. And nothing pleased Andy Sweeney more than when I told him that Bob is going to the Final Four by himself.
Oh, no.
That, you know, I mean, we'll have our folks from Kansas City out there as well. But Bob is going, it's tough to navigate doing this stuff by yourself. It's nothing easy about it. And you have to be on top of, like, all the tech issues, everything else. I mean, you got to be your own one-man band out there. And I am going to, I'm definitely going to be listening today just to see how.
Just to hear how that goes. And
just to see how it goes.
You know, Bob, it's either going to be amazing or awful. Like, it's going to go either way, right? Like, it's going to be Bob brilliant.
Oh, there's going to be some issues.
Yeah. But the interviews that he gets could be absolutely brilliant. You know, they could be absolutely amazing.
Could be. But will they be taped properly? Will the connection be there? I would guarantee at least, I'd put the over-under at 1.5 on interviews taped on his phone right there rather than, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I could totally
just
see
down
that.
The line, you
I
know.
Totally like, this see is, that.
It's not like people just, they hand them to you, you know, like, hey, here's this person right now. How would you like them? You know, it's a little bit of a Hunger game sometimes getting the good guests out there. Now, there's nobody.
Oh, no. Okay.
Got more. We lost
Diener there. Oh, no. Are you back? No, we're losing Diener there. So, yeah. So, that coverage is going to be delivered locally by Louisville Ladder. Tested and trusted by the pros since 1946. Built to be above LouisvilleLadder.com and Derby City Gaming downtown. So, yeah. So, it is Indiana State versus Seton Hall tonight. That's the NIT championship game on 680 and 93.9 The Ville as well. So, yeah. You're back. Sorry. I vamped for you.
Now you did. You're doing your best. This third world.
Oh no!
Country. I mean,
oh no! Not again.
Leave up there. If you, oh no!
Not again. He Diener moved.
Oh, reconnect here.
There you are. Okay. So thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN Louisville studios. Perfect for your next tailgate. And try the new chicken sandwich. Order online, wingzone.com. Three area locations in Metro Louisville. But yeah, man, I mean, Chase and I looked it up after the, going back to our Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift in the Derby conversation. The Taylor Swift tour does not begin until the week after Derby. Okay. So she's going to be in Paris.
Uh-oh.
And Travis and Jason both played at Cincinnati.
That's a good point.
So the area kind of, is not far away. I don't know where Travis lives or anything like that. I don't know if he lives in Kansas City. I have utterly no idea. But I'm saying it's possible. So the thing about Taylor's tour being on during that time, she hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
Now, she may not want to go to a big event like the Derby before. I mean, she's got to want to go, but maybe Travis wants to go.
I would love to see a Travis and Jason Kelce kind of duel,
right?
Riders up action. That'd be nice.
What about Tom Brady? Tom's usually at the Derby.
Tom would be, yeah, that would be special.
Tom would be great.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning would be great.
I can't believe. Do they usually get anybody that's that big, or is it usually just Louisville people?
I mean, they've had.
I mean, they had Mahomes last year.
And I think it's a relatively new Derby tradition.
Okay.
It's been 10, 15, mm-hmm. maybe 20 years. It's not been that long,
yeah.
Right? I don't even know when they started it. So they don't have this long history, and I think they want to try to get like a big name person out there. And here we are. We're like a month away.
Well, a lot of them go. I mean, they. I think probably Pat McAfee's probably in the running as well.
I don't think you can do McAfee. McAfee would do an amazing Riders Up, but yeah. I don't know that McAfee is on that level for Derby 150.
You're probably right.
He could do the Oaks.
Yeah.
The Oaks has a Riders Up call too, and Charlie did one, and Teddy did one. Like, did Teddy do one for the Kentucky Derby?
I remember Teddy.
Yeah, he was early on.
Yeah.
He was, that was an early Riders Up call. That was one of the fewer, and then Charlie did a great one.
Yeah.
Charlie's Riders Up was awesome. I love that one, and that's a tremendous honor, obviously, but I think, for Derby 151, you can have Pat Kelce somebody like that. But for Derby 150...
Feels like it's got to be Taylor, doesn't it?
Feels like it's got to be somebody major.
Yeah.
I
mean, Taylor Swift would be the ultimate... I mean, she's got the biggest following.
Oh, yeah, but Travis Kelce... I mean, they did Mahomes last year.
Yeah.
Probably don't wheel back with Mahomes because, it's a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're not going to ask the same guy to do it 2 years in a row, even though he did just win the Super Bowl. But maybe Travis Kelce. Maybe it is Lamar Jackson. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Oh, Diener's back. Let's go, buddy.
Well, I'm back, but it's so I'm trying to reset the internet, but I don't know if it's going to work or not. We'll see.
We were rolling along
third
really
world
well
country
there.
Down here.
I know.
We jinxed it. Yeah, we jinxed it. Like, oh, the connection's good. Oh, you got a no hitter going. Gone. Yeah. So,
yeah. True.
We got a couple things. So I'm very anxious to hear get Bob's coverage from the Final Four. It's going to be. There's going to be a story. Bob, if he's late and stuck in traffic, it's never that it's just like traffic was moving slowly. It's like a monkey turned over a semi. Right.
Something happened.
It's always something crazy, and so it's just never as simple as, just got a little behind or there was traffic, there was a wreck. No. There was a monkey juggling on top of a car, and he threw one of the things he was juggling at the car behind him, which caused four other cars to skid out and, make Bob drop his phone. I don't know. It's never just like a wreck was on there, and that's with the late things.
It's never so normal.
I'm very much looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yes.
This guy who loves to take a train to Omaha.
Did he take a train to Phoenix?
Yes. Oh, no.
Oh, God. That would be the longest train in the world.
Oh. Well, yeah. I have no interest in that whatsoever. None.
Yeah.
So it's it'll be something today. So we'll see. So we've got that. I had a couple other things. We haven't really gotten any of your stories on vacation either. You've not regaled us with
The most beautiful place on earth. Is it not the most beautiful place on earth?
It's incredible. And you know, it was sunny and beautiful every single day. And I told the story with Rummage that we got upgraded to the presidential suite. And so I haven't told you about it, but like the
oh, yeah, that's right, because you stayed with him. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we got upgraded to the presidential suite, 2,200 square feet, three balconies, mm-hmm. three bathrooms, a kitchen, a 10-person kitchen table.
Wow.
And then the heat, the toilet seats were heated. Like, and that and so I sat down to pee.
That makes you oddly happy there. That makes you very happy.
It was a touch I'd never thought about that now I need in my house. You know, because when you
need your buns warm to pee, is that what you're telling me? You're sitting down to pee these days.
If the toilet seat is heated, I'll sit down for sure. It's just a little pleasantry I didn't expect. So in the head of the bidet and like the walk-in shower, it had like seven.
Did you use the bidet too, Mark?
I did, but I didn't like it. You know, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. So I did use it. I used it once just to, you know, just once just to see how it feels. And then just to and then I moved on. I just went the normal route. But there were like seven different shower heads in this thing. Like I was like didn't really know how to use it.
That's where the ballers. I mean, the presidential suite in Maui got to be one of the nicest hotel rooms on the planet, I'm going to guess.
It was. I like, and then John Salzman said, he goes, you'll never have it better. And I'm like, you're right. Can I go back to Maui? Like now, because go back to a peaked. Normal room.
you have absolutely peaked.
Here's how it happened. So Kenny Payne was going to be retained. Right. So I booked the trip.
Yeah.
I'm like, if he's coming back, we're going to Hawaii. Like, I'm not like, we're not going anywhere. So I put together, you know, it's $3,000 deposit for the room. I booked it in April, you know, to do this advance deposit, to get the deal that I got. And so, you know, the fires happen in August, and they send everybody a note. Hey, if you want your deposit back, we'll send it back to you, no charge. If you want to cancel, we don't know what's going to happen. And I was like, no, I'm good. I held strong and didn't ask for my deposit back or anything. And so 2 weeks before we went out there, they called me and they're like, listen, you're one of like seven people who didn't ask for their deposit back. You're one of our longest, you know, reservations, and you're going to be there for 8 nights. So we're going to upgrade you to the presidential suite. So this is a gift from Kenny Payne.
Man.
It's a gift from Kenny Payne.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
It was awesome.
It is.
It was amazing. So, but no, we saw the whales. Have you ever seen the whales jump?
No, not a whale. No, I've seen a dolphin. By the way, the dolphins can they're on my bleep list because I didn't realize when you're, you know, deep sea fishing, the worst thing you can do is see a dolphin because they steal your. Not only do they steal your fish, they taunt you after they do it every time.
Yep.
Like, haha, is this what you thought you had? I mean, we had about four on the line the other day and just in the dolphin. It's like he takes his sweet time. It's exactly how I would do it if I were a dolphin. I would wait till, oh, you almost got that in? And then just, you know, show off. You know, it's just, they're jerks.
They will harass you.
They are unbelievable. Yes. I mean, it's like every time I thought the guy was kidding, he's like, oh, they'll taunt. Watch this. And then sure enough, like, ha-ha, got your fish.
Well, they're smart. You know, they're not stupid animals.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
But in Maui, like, I wasn't prepared for – I always heard that you might see a whale. But, like, this was whale mm-hmm. season. And apparently
– wow, I bet that was cool as hell.
It's like 10,000 humpback whales converge onto Maui. Like, and so – all you got to do is like look out in the water and you're going to see one doing a tail slap or jumping out of the water or seeing one kind of breach or whatever. And when you see a humpback whale jump out of the water, your mind can't process it at first. You're like, what in the hell did I just see? It was just an incredible experience. But apparently the reason why they jump out, I found really interesting. It's basically that females only mate with one male. The males can mate with multiple females, but the female is trying to get that male's attention. And when there's that many humpback whales,
nothing like whale sex here on the Diener Show. We got whale sex conversation.
But it's really interesting because because there's so many humpback whales in the water at that time that their noise is that
target-rich environment.
It's target-rich environment. But they're trying to get the attention of that one guy that they mate with, and it can get too loud in the water from all the whale, because there's 10,000 humpback whales
there. All the whale sex going on.
All the whale sex and all the other stuff happening, that they have to jump out of the water to get his attention. And so I'm just like, it's belly flopping to attract a male. And I just wonder if that would work at the Owl Creek pool for you.
With all the singles there. Yeah, it would be great. No, it wouldn't. Belly flop, you could dive in perfectly. Yeah, that would not be a target-rich environment. No, not at all.
Yeah, but it was fascinating. It was so beautiful. It was amazing. So
yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's great. I just haven't been once. It's about the most beautiful place you ever want to see.
We'll go back.
I will let you hop on.
I don't know
in.
If I'll go.
You will? I don't know. That's a long trip, man. Yeah,
it won't be anytime
that's
soon.
It's a long way. It's expensive. Yeah.
But I will return. I just don't think I'll get the presidential suite this time. So.
Yeah, I'd say not. Unless you get lucky. Who knows? We'll let you hop on if you want to do so. Get to the UPS Jobs text line. Many texters pointing out, yes, that as soon as I made fun of technical issues for Bob, what happened? I dropped. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yep. You did that. Yeah. You did that to yourself.
That's karma. Next, it says Lamar could do Derby and Preakness riders up. Yeah, it's true. I would think they won there in Baltimore. Let's see. Texter says, UK fan here, Kelsey is so over the top annoying that I hate to have to admit it, but I love the hire. All kidding aside, I can't wait till next season because it looks like Kelsey will actually bring all the jabber. We'll bring all the jabber UK Cal want, and this is from a Kentucky fan. This is needed, has been sorely missed.
I think what he's saying there is that Cal does better when he has somebody who kind of like needles him.
Pushing him.
Yeah. Probably true.
Texas says KP did take the staff 1 year to backside. That's right. Texas says that's about the only right thing he did. That's right.
Yeah, we interviewed Nolan and Danny Manning on the backside before anything
that's
really
right.
happened.
Before they were silenced, before they wouldn't let them talk after that.
Yes.
Let's see. Texter says, I don't know. That one I don't trust. I figure I'm walking into one there. Rummage had some business to handle, had to jump off the Twitter space. Oh yeah. Oh, my God. Last night.
What happened?
Listen to the end when Steve leaves. Oh, yeah. No, he was basically announcing the stories you were just telling about the whales.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what Rummage was just basically told the audience last night.
No.
Yeah, you should listen. It was amazing audio. It was amazing audio. Yes.
Wow. Well, so here's what happened the other day. It was Monday, and you were like, I'm probably not going to do the show, you know, because I'm going to go fishing. And I'm like, all right, let me call Rummage. Call Rummage, and... Rummage answers the phone. He's like, hey, I'll let you know I'm in my shower right now. And I'm like, are you naked? And he goes, yeah, I'm naked. And he goes, and also Charity's in here with me. And I'm like, do I need to get naked too? And I'm like, on the phone, I'm like, you didn't need to tell me any of this. You didn't tell me any of it all.
I love that already in the mixtape is blank on whale sex. It's already in there. It's already been cut.
It's already.
Oh, and pull up. Hey, Chase, search the Dropbox for whale.
It's already there.
You know,
it's already cut.
Well, yes, but Bob talking about the erect whale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Phallic. Yeah. Yeah.
Texter says, blank says he got upgraded to the presidential suite on his Hawaii vacation, and my brain immediately said, I hate him even more now. So, yeah, I get it. I understand. Let's see. Oh, Diener, that's you me. Should have put tiny football helmets on your bait, because if they're like the Dolphins I pull for your bait would have been safe. Talking about the Miami Dolphins.
Well, because it reflects. I think the guy's being serious, wasn't he?
No. He's talking about, you know, if you put football helmets on the bait, then they can't hit that kind of bait, I guess is what he's saying. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was actually a fishing tip, but I don't know. Let's see. Texter says, yeah, not as good as Chase, I just sent you the audio. This is Bob from like some years back, about a year or two ago. If you get that queued up, let me know, because between Blank and Baker talking about whale mating season, it just makes you think of Bob and the
I'll just let Bob say it because I don't need to give Sofro any more material than he's already got for the mixtape.
I just wasn't prepared for that many whales in the water at one time. I really wasn't. It was actually kind of really fascinating.
One of them's, let's see. If you want to hop in, 267-9680, our number to get in. UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. I'll let you pop on in here this morning. We can find that sound later if we want, but moment's probably gone. So if you want to do that, we can.
We got Steve on the line. Can we go to Steve?
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Yes, I forgot all my tech issues. So yeah, go ahead, Steve. Welcome in. Good morning. Do we have Steve? Maybe not. Maybe not.
Steve. Oh. Steve may be gone. All right. Well, I thought we had Steve.
All right.
Line said gone. It was there, but it, you know, not there.
Jeez. Freaking internet.
Yeah, I love the text line, but I can't read that. It's about you and fishing. It's very funny.
I have Bob talking about erect whale penis, by the way.
Oh, let's play that real quick.
Why do I not hear anything?
You're not hearing anything?
Okay, here we go. Blue whales have the largest penises on Earth. Now I'm going to read the whole damn thing to you, and you're going to cringe. An erect blue whale penis is 12 inches in diameter, 10 feet in length. 10 feet. It would just fit under a basketball goal when it's fully elongated. Okay, you happy for the details? That's how big it is. Visual, when you watch the game tonight, I want you all, the opening tip, the first possession when they go down, to visualize a fully erect blue whale penis underneath the rim. That you could actually use it to determine that the rim is a legitimate 10 feet tall. The referees come out and they, what are you doing? We're testing the height. What do you have there? We got a blue whale penis. Oh, that's 10 feet, right? Exactly 10 feet. Yep, there you go. You happy now? There it is. That's it. So now
Can
you've
I
got
call
the story.
Seth Greenberg, please?
Call somebody because I'm pretty much done talking about blue whale penis.
I don't know how they get to that. I don't know if Dieter's still there or not, but like I don't know how you arrive on that. And the idea that every single blue whale is also 10 feet cannot be true. I'm assume that some are 9 feet. 9 inches, and some are 10 and a half feet. Like, I just feel like that's probably a misnomer, that they're like the 10 feet is probably the average.
Yeah, no, because there's some of the lucky ones that are 13 feet. And
is it luck?
I don't know.
You got to carry that thing around the whole, you know? You got to swim through the ocean with that the whole way.
Yeah.
You know? So, but no, humpback whales are not as big as blue whales, and I don't know anything about that particular thing. So we'll roll along here, you know, tell you about Goomer & Company. Goomer & Company's been in business since 1971 with two master jewelers on site to custom create whatever you have in mind. I took Ashley's engagement ring there, went there and got her bridal set made. We've had earrings and bracelets and necklaces and all sorts of stuff made over there, and a lot of you guys have gone in to Goomer & Company and you've said, hey, I've heard Blankenbaker talking about this, and you know, is it really that great? And yes, because there's no pressure. You go in there, you meet with Jake Goomer and his staff, and you just say, hey, I've got X amount of dollars for an engagement ring. And they're like, okay, let me tell you what I can work with you here. And then they set you up with that, and it's incredible. And they're just straight shooters over there, and you just feel comfortable. It's a very comfortable, no pressure sales environment. And they'll take good care of you over there at Goomer & Company. On the other side, we'll try to get Diener connected. And we'll be back here next on The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
We're having an all-night revival. Some call the women and some will steal the Bible.
broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
All right, I found the Hardwire Ethernet, Mark Blankenbaker.
You found it.
Not relying on the crappy internet Wi-Fi here in this third world country.
Oh, that's a game changer.
Panama City Beach. So, yeah. So I better sound as clear and with the least amount of delay as possible because I'm going from like 25 gigs or whatever, you know, per second to, you know, I'll run it now. It's, you know, it's in the hundreds. So,
So far, so good. So far, so good.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's different. Well, I mean, when you have Ethernet, I mean, you got Hardwire Ethernet. I mean, come on. Now, we're pushing over 50 now. So we ought to be good, and it's consistent. You're not relying on a signal, you know, somehow running through the air. You know, we got to have a good segment if we're going to have John Bowl on. We can't have this nonsense,
true,
you know, and have this crap internet. So, John, my apologies and everybody in the listening audience to this crappy audio or internet this morning.
You need to apologize for being in Panama City Beach. That's all I care about, actually, hearing that.
Well, we're actually not. We're closer to, like, Seaside. I'm far enough where I run down the street. That's when you're actually in PCB. I'm just on the outskirts. I'm not, you know, one of the
Where I used to go.
Wild
that's
ones.
That's where I used to go. Yeah, that brings back a lot of memories. Now I'm jealous.
Yeah, that famous bar that everybody always talks about. I guess it's not in business anymore. I can never
Club
remember
Club La Vila?
Somebody... Yeah, it's out of business, I think.
Yeah, no, it's been out of business for a while, but it's still a landmark. Still a landmark.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is sitting around here covering tornadoes, so don't mind me.
Yeah, I mean, what a weather event. I mean, how about the video of the student in Lexington? Is that the winner, or was there better footage than that somewhere else?
The better footage than that was, and I interviewed the guy before the 11 two nights ago, got him on the phone right before news time. The guy who was driving a Ford F-150 with his 8- and 10-year-old kids aboard, and I posted the story on my social media so you can punch it up later, who he was rolling with his dash cam video, and there's a line of people to his left. As he's on like 265 or Southern Indiana there. And he knows the tornado's coming and he doesn't want to just sit there. So he gets in the right lane and punches it and just tries to pass everybody and flee and get out of the way of the tornado. But he doesn't quite make it. He has to stop videotapes a tornado literally passing right in front of his truck, just right to left. Right past his truck, and then it looks in the video. It looks like he just pulls over to the right a little bit, but it's actually you find out when you talk to him that he the tornado like lifted his truck up and spun him 90 degrees, but did not flip him over. And then when the tornado passes and he finally moves forward, it's just like a scene out of the Road Warrior as he just starts passing all the overturned vehicles, overturned semis, and stuff like that.
Golly.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah, you don't see, I mean, you know, you never know when it's going to be like that too, right? Sometimes it's like you have something predicted and it doesn't come to fruition, and then you get something like this that's even worse probably.
Well, it was actually amazing for me because I sat in the studio. They cut in at about 20 minutes to 5, and so we had no newscast, and I watched the three weather guys, Kevin, Brian, and Ryan, work from 20 to 5 until 6:30, and I was watching them work their technology, and they were literally telling people before there was even a tornado warning issued for the particular county, let's say. They were telling people not only that there was going to be a tornado warning, but where the tornado was going to form.
Wow.
And then they were going right down. Jeez. They were going right down to the subdivision level and street names and everything and showing you, like, okay, this neighborhood right here, a tornado is going to form, and it's going to go through this neighborhood right here. And it was amazing, dude. Like, totally amazing.
That is incredible that they were able to do that. Yeah, I mean that's a long way because it's like 50 years from that terrible tornado outbreak in 1974. I think we're like on the anniversary. Maybe we passed it. I mean,
I think it was the day of it. Wasn't it the anniversary?
Yeah.
No, it was the day. So yesterday was the anniversary of the 50-year anniversary of the tornadoes, and the day before was the day we were on with the tornadoes. So it was on the eve of it.
Wow.
And yeah, all the stations did all their blowout coverage yesterday with the pieces from 50 years ago. And Kevin interviewed Tom Wills, who was working that day.
Oh wow!
About his memories and that, and it was really compelling. It was like nothing they could do. I mean, they had archaic technology.
Oh my God, the technology must be so compared now. Yeah, it must be crazy.
They didn't even have an early warning system, right? Like to let people know, hey, there somebody spotted a tornado, hit the sirens. Like that didn't exist.
I mean, 50 years ago, so I would have been 12 years old. I remember well. Like, no, you couldn't issue a tornado warning unless one had physically been seen by an official, like a cop or something.
Right.
I remember going to my basement many times, listening to WHAS, going, you know, oh, go to your basement. I'm like, really? We have to do this every damn time? It's never. It's like every time.
I know. Tom said they got the warnings out, you know, but.
Yeah.
Ahead, you know, to the people ahead of the tornadoes, but it's just the tornadoes were too big. They were just massive.
John Bull with us here, 9th Round of the Ville, ESPN 680-1057. Well, I see we have a lawsuit around Derby time. Amr Zidane, if that's how you say it, who's got Muth, has filed a lawsuit against Churchill seeking a temporary injunction that would allow his horse to run in the Derby. You think this has any legs?
Okay, I have a multiple takes on this. Okay.
Okay. By the way, I have to pause for a second. All I hear is Blankenbaker's mouse. That's all I hear.
Really?
Click, 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 click. Yes. Huh. Like, it's like, I don't know if that's the loudest mouse in the world, but that's all I can
hear. It's the mouse I use every day.
Princess and the Pea. I know, the Princess and the Pea. I can hear the audio again. I'm sorry. I just, you know, it's my quirks.
My first point is this not turned out to be the most expensive tube of skin rash cream in history, when you think about the cost?
Yes.
Okay? Seriously. Secondly, my second take is I'm a big fan of Suits. We're in season 5, episode 16, I believe, of Suits. And I think I've told you before, Harvey Specter is my favorite TV character in all of history, and I think of everything now in terms of how Harvey Specter would view things, and it's kind of given me a new perspective on this Baffert stuff, because in the Harvey Specter world, everything is not as it seems. You're always maneuvering a step ahead of the game. So, for instance, like when Bob Baffert just suddenly dropped all of his legal stuff in January, I thought that we would then be hearing like a month later that they had, you know, they were announcing like he could come back, or, you know, there was some out of court like settlement reached in that, but that didn't happen. But then, so then I'm thinking, well now Zayden chimes in. So in the Harvey Specter world, you do things like this to get somebody to do that, you know what I mean, legally. So I'm thinking maybe this is like a means to an end to force something or to
like a long play. Like this is somebody. A coordinated long play.
Yeah. But you're always angling with different lawsuits and different injunctions and different things to hasten somebody to do something else. So I don't know. And my third take is that none of this matters, because I watched Fierceness and then I watched Muth, and Fierceness, there's no drama left in the Kentucky Derby this year. Fierceness
is the
only drama. It's kind of like 2015 with Farrell. The only drama is Fierceness going to win the Triple Crown or not? That's how I feel about it.
Wow, you're that high. See, I've got to be caught. What was his buyer number? Have we seen a rag number or anything on his win?
His buyer was 110.
Woo, wow. Okay, that'd do it.
His buyer was 110, and as you know, historical winning Derby numbers are like around 116-ish, 112. So he's already right there.
Yeah, 120 like in the 110 in the Florida Derby. He was a 90 in the Holy Bull and a 110 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile as well.
Yeah, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile by 6 plus. He won this one by 13. There's no drama. I was all excited about the Derby. There's no drama left, man. Unless his horse gets sick or something.
Well, he's third in the Holy Bull. I mean, Hayes and Domestic Product took him down.
Right, but that was coming off the layoff, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. What kind of favorite do you think he's going to be? Like, you think he's going to be like a 2-1 type of favorite?
I think he's going to be like Farrell, like 3-1.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hard to get much lower than that when you have 20 entries. Yeah, you know,
Did you watch the race? Not only did he win by 13 against a decent field. They geared him down so far from the finish line, it was embarrassing. Like, embarrassing.
Wow, he still ran it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I got to admit, I've been on vacation, have not watched any of it. So I'm watching this right now for the first time, and that is rather impressive in the Florida Derby to win by that much. So,
Mike Rapoli feeling good. So he gives Rick Pitino all the NIL money, wins the Florida Derby, wins the Kentucky Derby, gives Pitino all the money so that St. John's can go make the Final Four. That's what happens.
Speaking of Pitino, what is this? I'm scrolling the phone here quickly. What is going on with him? Is he in trouble already?
No, that was fake.
No, it was a fake account. Yeah, but Chase got on that yesterday, too.
Yeah, they got me, John.
Okay.
They got Crumb's Revenge. They got Chase. They get everybody. And the tell.
So what did it say, though? It said what did it say?
He's in trouble for tampering on players on other people's rosters. And I'm like, nobody gets in trouble for tampering now. Everybody's tampering.
Everybody's tampering.
No, it was fake. The last thing that made me mad was, and I posted this too a couple days ago, that AJ Storr, the guy that left Wisconsin, is going around demanding $1 million from these different programs, like shopping himself around, like, I'll take $1 million or I'm not coming. And Kansas countered with $750, take it or leave it, and he left it. And he's still moving on, pushing on, trying to get somebody to pay him $1 million. The whole thing is so sickening, man. The whole state of...
Affairs
with that.
I mean, it's not changing
college basketball.
Yeah, it's not changing. Boy, I know. You're right on this fierceness. Oh my God, this fierceness. He was standing up. I mean, you know, his butt was way up in the air. I mean, that means he's holding the horse back while the other horses are just, you know, riding as fast as they can. They're not anywhere near him. You're right. This is this is impressive. So I'm all
unless he gets sick. Or does a spectacular bid, steps on a pin in the Belmont before the race is over.
I kind of agree. Looking at this, I mean, the money in college basketball, it is sort of crazy. I mean, it's not sort of crazy. It is nuts. It's the only system you have right now, though. So if you don't embrace it, you're going to be a dinosaur. I don't know if it can ever, if they can bring it in-house ever, if they can make it, you know, like an NFL salary cap model where it's a percentage of something, TV revenue or something like that. But it's, and the thing of it is, the worst part about it is, as somebody put to me, you don't even own their rights. You can give these players all the money you want. At least in the NFL, you have a contract. You have a 1 year, you don't even own their rights, no matter how much money you give them.
I know. Like, how many people are in the portal right now? Isn't it like some insane number?
It's like 3 per team.
Everyone.
Yeah, it's like 3 or 4 per team. You know, it's incredible. Of course, Louisville's entire team is in the portal, but if you're a player and you need to renegotiate your NIL, why wouldn't you go in the portal?
Right. No question. If I'm a player, I'm doing that. Yeah.
Because you can always go back to where you're from. I mean, unless you're
it's
a bad player.
For the fans. It's sickening for the fans because it's exactly like pro sports now.
Is it sickening? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's sickening about
when you lose your star player on the team that you cheer for and they're going around demanding $1 million? That's like that's extortion, but it's sickening.
Well, but for you, what's the sickening part? Because it's players getting paid. It's just on the you know, maybe it was below the table before. Now they can just outright say it. I don't know. It's different. It is definitely like pro sports. I definitely think it changes the connection to the team. But I mean, I don't know. I don't. I guess I'm not as repulsed by it. But I just, because that's the way it is.
What's sickening about it is, first of all, that only the rich getting richer are going to be the better teams then, because then and it's not even like pro sports, because at least you got a 3 or 4 year contract in pro sports. This is every year I'm just going to just leave whoever I'm with and go find a better paying customer. It's also the indignancy of like going to a place like Kansas and saying, yeah, pay me $1 million. Kansas is like, no, you're only worth about $750. Oh, no.
But John, the rich are not getting richer. The rich are not getting richer. Kansas isn't in the Final Four. Kentucky's not in the Final Four. North Carolina, the Blue Bloods, are not in the Final Four. The other teams are the ones that are, I think, actually benefiting the most out of this. And look at last year's Final Four.
They're going to.
I don't think so.
The craziness is just getting started right now.
You know,
what if this guy wants the million for a second? I mean, what about this guy from Kansas? Let's say he does get $1 million from a, I don't know, lower tier school. That's not the rich getting richer. That's a chance for that team to make a big impact with a player that might put him in the tournament. I mean, I think there's hasn't happened yet. The opposite has happened so far.
He's not going to go to a lower tier school. He's going. You watch. He's going to end up going to Illinois is rumored to be going to pay him.
Sure.
He's going to be going to the teams that have the most money. The teams that pay the
which
most
isn't
money.
Kansas or Kentucky. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's not unlimited funds there, so I think it disperses the talent. Sorry, Mark, I know you want to jump in.
Yeah, no, I think what's happening, John, is like you're actually seeing more parity, like as opposed to like Alabama football, for example, getting like 25 of the first, you know, top 75 football players. Your playing time still matters, but the money, like, you know, A&M, Texas, Miami, Penn State, Michigan, like all these schools are now, you know, coming in because number one, in order to get paid, you got to play. You got to find the field. And I think it has created some parity there. And I think you've seen it in basketball too. Now, will that happen over time? Like you're saying, I don't know, but I do think that, you know, these kids are starting to see that in order for me to get paid, I gotta play. Where can I go and get on the field and get paid, and then I'll hit the portal after I've proven myself. And that's why you're seeing a lot of this player movement.
But how do you coach? First of all, I disagree, because I think it's going to be like, what is the guy that left the guy that went to Kansas, the big center,
Hunter Dickinson?
Hunter Dickinson.
Right, he ended up going to Kansas because he was just all about money. He just wanted the most money he could get.
$2 million.
So he ends up going to Kansas. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he got hurt, but no, this is gonna how can you coach if every year the disgruntled guys who didn't get to play enough in their mind just leave and go for the most money?
You got to figure out how.
That's crazy.
You have to figure out how, because the guys that can figure that out are the ones that are going to win. Otherwise, you're just shaking your fist at the clouds. I mean, what Jeff Brohm has done to embrace it, and I know it's the turnover isn't necessarily with football like it is basketball, but it's pretty, you know, there's plenty of turnover. I think the people that figure that out to go, how do I put together a new team and chemistry every year, are the ones that, you know, are going to thrive in this.
I agree with that. You're going to have to figure it out, because it's kind of crazy. I mean, I totally, I've listened to a lot of Saban speeches and stuff talking about this in interviews, and
he's so full of it. My God, like, but I mean, he's out there going like, "Wow, it's a, you know, I don't like." There's no, you know, he's clamoring for parity in a sport that there was no parity simply because of him. I mean, that's right. That him saying that like cracks me up.
No, what resonates with me is him talking about how, like, coaching used to be about trying to forge a relationship with somebody over time. That's not going to happen anymore, because people are going to leave every year for the reasons we're talking about.
Yeah, the Oklahoma State basketball coach, he talked about getting Cade Cunningham and that it was like a three-year recruitment and it was about the relationship. And he's like, and now it's about, I got a $500,000 and they're going to pay me $600,000. And sorry, coach.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I think is crazy.
Yeah, is crazy, but
it's reality, though. It's crazy, but we're in a crazy reality, and they're going to have to adjust to the times.
Yep.
I mean, it's there.
Yep,
it's,
I agree with
away.
That.
I do think they've got to figure out a way to get some of this in house, and because I think it's so funny to just think about this, though, that Rick Pitino was fired for a guy at Adidas somewhere knew somebody and did some purchase order and it's $25,000. Meanwhile, Rick Kieber on Monday's like, I got $1 million to pay players. Who's with me? The thing that took Rick down, we're now, I gave $1,000, it's going to a player. I don't even know who or how, but that stuff was an FBI investigation, and now we have $1 million fundraising campaign going on to pay players publicly.
Right. I'm trying to figure out, what if the rest of the world, what if TV news was like what college sports are right now. What if you were,
you would be in demand. That'd be good for John Bowles. That would be good for you.
But if all the people in TV news, if you were just allowed to do this crap and just every, if I'm not happy with my airtime. No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do morning news. I want to be an evening anchor. And you were allowed to just go every year and just go somewhere new and whoever pays you more. It would be hilarious.
John, you would be the richest guy in local news history because you'd be getting free agent bids every year.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, right. I don't know about that, but it would be
No, crazy. No, maybe. Yeah. I think yeah. When another one of these promos, if we don't do drugs, we just sell drugs, or we don't whatever. They just do drugs, we don't sell drugs. That would probably make you an extra $20,000. We got to get him back. All right, up the ante. What's the cost on Bowl? Let's go. Let's get him back.
Well, let's try to make that happen then.
You like it now?
Let's get rid of non-compete. Let's go with the college basketball model. And then I'll just tell people what shows I want to do, and I'll be like AJ Store, here's how much money I want to make, and just shop myself around. That's what we'll do.
Yeah, yeah. I think it would be good for business. Are there still? Okay. Are non-competes still enforceable anymore? It seems like in local news they were the most ridiculously you can't take a job in Dallas because you signed here in Bowling Green. But are those still that widely restrictive in local news?
Yeah. Yes, and I learned something fascinating one time because it seems like TV people are the ones that complain about them the most. I went to a seminar. This is years ago, but I'm sure it's still true. Went to a seminar with an attorney talking about non-competes, and actually, the other sectors of life, other vocations, utilize non-competes more even than TV news.
Well, but they have to be which duration and scope is the two measurements, because I looked in this a lot. You can't have an unreasonable duration. You can't have a 50-year non-compete. And the scope, you can't say in most businesses within 500 miles. That's not reasonable in scope. So I don't know. I think those will be. Problem. Wasn't the FCC going to outlaw them anyway sometime back?
Yeah, there was
not FCC.
A couple months ago they were. It's a discussion.
Yeah, it sounded imminent, it was going to happen within a year because they're so just wrong, inherently wrong. But I haven't heard any movement on that, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I've heard people get terminated from their job, and then their business tries to enforce their non-compete. I'm like, hang on. You fired them. Now they need to go work. What are you doing?
No, that's how this whole thing started in the broadcast sector with the anger and the attempt to legislatively deal with it. But when it happened to an anchor in Lexington, got fired, and then they enforced the non-compete. And so the person is just screwed in all possible ways. You just fired them, and you won't allow them to take a job. And they're going to have to uproot their family and move far away. Yes.
is somebody could surely challenge this in court. It's nobody ever does, though, it seems like, because they're just afraid of, like, making a bad reputation for yourself. I mean, it's like somebody's going to challenge that, and they'll win. I think they'll win.
There was a, I don't know if it was directly a non-compete, but there was a very famous case in Louisville in broadcasting where Melissa Forsythe challenged it and won and moved from station to station. But I don't know the particulars of all that.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I learned a lesson to not like dolphins the other day when we went out deep sea fishing. Well, I don't know about deep sea fishing. We went out about an hour, but the captain was like, "Oh no, there's a dolphin." I'm like, "Why is that bad?" He's like, "Just wait." And you know, people have big fish on the line, and then bang, the dolphin just, you know, takes it right off your line right as you're getting ready to reel it into the boat, and then taunts you as it, when it goes away. Dolphins are bad.
Oh, nice.
Dolphins and bananas, bad.
Nice. You know what my favorite part of spring break in Panama City Beach was over the years, Drew? And I hope you're doing this. It's so well-timed to do your mini training on the beach right about now. And so then you come back like a horse off your second start, ready to rock in the mini.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because, yeah, I haven't been doing much training at all. I ran 4 the other day. I'm going to go 5 today. I can probably go 6, you know, in a day, you know, a couple of days from now. And once I get to there, if I'm consistently doing 6 and maybe throwing a 7 or 8, I'll be fine for, you know, for it. Yep. I'm not going to set any sort of personal best, but because the energy of it, as you know, on race day is it carries you, you know, 3 more miles than you'd be able to do otherwise.
That's exactly right. The energy of the race carries you the extra 3. And then the energy of being on spring break and the beauty of running like in the morning or the evening on the beach and running in the sand helps build up the muscle. And then
I'm not doing the sand, man. Oh, my gosh.
It's a good way to get hurt.
Plantar fasciitis or something.
What is wrong with you? That's how you get over plantar fasciitis, is running in the sand.
Is that right? Oh, we need to get Jimmy Dorn about
it. Okay.
Point that.
Okay, I'm not telling you to do Top Gun, all right? I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to look at the tide, and you've got to run right after the tide has receded. So you run right down close to the water where it's packed down and fairly, by sand standards, fairly firm. And that's where you need to run. That's the perfect situation.
I don't like the angle. You know, like I don't like running on a, like if it's
slanted. Oh, yeah. A little slant.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
If you're on a beach where you got a harsh angle, you can't do it. But if you got anything close to level, I guess I'm thinking more along the lines of like Daytona and stuff.
If you have a broad,
you know, beach, I totally get that.
Broader, flatter beach, but yeah, Panama City Beach can have an angle. You're right.
Yeah. All right, John Bull. We'll always get it. We got anything coming up here to promote?
My 10-part series starts April 15th, Monday, so two Mondays from now, and it's fascinating, man. Every time I look into a certain piece, I learn a lot. Like, I just put together the American Pharoah piece because I wanted to do Pharoah because it was a, remember the big deal there was it was a 37-year wait for a horse to hit the Triple Crown. And I was looking that up. Do you guys realize in that 37 years, 13 times a horse won the first 2 legs and then faltered in the Derby? Do you realize that?
I knew it was a bunch.
The first one starting what year then you're talking about?
So between 78 and 78.
78. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We lived through it. Yeah. It just felt
that was the last one.
It seemed like.
Because.
Yeah.
It was 37 years, 13 times, so better than once every 3 years on average, a horse won the first 2 and faltered in the Belmont. We were always getting our Triple Crown hopes up. And remember, it was so bad, there were all this serious talk about changing the format because it couldn't be done anymore, and blah, 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 blah. And then Pharoah finally did it. But I just thought that was interesting. I started going through the list of the horses, of those 13 horses that won the first two legs and then couldn't do the third. It was really fascinating.
Yeah. No, I'm living through it, you know, just thinking, is this the year? Oh,
yep.
And the one that got me that was the closest was it 98, I guess, Real Quiet. Look, I mean, you can watch that race and go, there's no way this horse is losing. There's no way it lost this race. And it lost the race.
I just looked at it again yesterday, and there's no way it looks like Victory Gallop beat Real Quiet.
The mirror said different. Mirror said different. But it looked like he nosed him at the wire. It looked like he had it, but... Yeah.
All right, we're all screwed up on break schedule, but John Bull, you're worth it. We'll talk to you soon, my man.
All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, appreciate it. John Bull with the Tier 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680 and 105.7 as we hang out with you here this morning. Again, you got our friends over there at FanDuel. They're going to take care of you. If you've got that, you know, busted bracket, well, how about, reloading here, getting a player prop, maybe looking at, you know, some underdogs, or maybe you're playing favorites, or you got NBA, the Reds are off to a good start. But right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. So make sure you're betting like money line on a heavy favorite, or over like 2 points for LeBron, whatever you can find to be the lowest one, because you want to win that first one. And then you're going to have that $200 in bonus bets that you've got 7 days to use. So deposit 10, bet 5, win the bet, and you're off and running. Got to be 21 or older, present in Kentucky, first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. FanDuel.com/redeem.